The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
There can be many things in life that scare us. Over and over again, angels appeared on the scene to declare what was about to happen. In the beginning of the month, in the Advent season, we looked at how angels came, and they first came to Mary, this little teenage girl who had her whole life kind of mapped out. She was getting ready to get married to this wonderful guy named Joey, and everything was going according to plan when an angel showed up one night and interrupted her life, and she had to struggle with the fear of, what is God asking me to do? The next week, we looked at the story of Joseph, and he had his whole life mapped out and planned. He was about ready to marry this beautiful young girl. This girl named Mary, he had a thriving carpentry business going, and all of a sudden, he gets word that his fiancée is pregnant, and he's not the father. That's a little awkward. Joseph struggled, and last week we looked at how he actually, in love, looked for a quiet way to slip out of this engagement and to divorce her even before things had taken off. But an angel appeared to him and said, "Fear not. What is happening is from God." And Joseph had to struggle with, do I do what is easy and get out of this relationship? Or do I deal with the persecution that is likely going to come from those in our village who are going to know that she was pregnant out of wedlock? How do we explain to them that this was from God, that this was conceived by the Holy Spirit? What do we do with those who never believe us? And then tonight, we're going to look at how the angel showed up to the shepherds and use the same words, fear not. The shepherds weren't expecting this kind of message. They weren't expecting actually to be a part of this story at all because they were shepherds. Many of us in life, we have fears of these different kinds. We can be afraid of what God might ask us to do one day. We can be afraid of, am I going to do the right thing or the easy thing? Sometimes the right thing is often hard, and we can justify our way out of certain circumstances and situations. And like the shepherds tonight, there are times when we can be afraid of where we stand with God. You see, in this time and age, shepherds were, they were the lowest of the low. Those chosen to be shepherds were usually the youngest son in the family or a slave, someone who was uneducated, unskilled, who didn't quite have a chance of making it in any other profession, and so they were sent out to take care of the family's sheep. And it wasn't just a job that you did 9 to 5, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why would God come to shepherds? Back in those days when there was a significant birth of any kind, normally a family would hire a group of people who would herald the coming, who would spread the news that this birth was about to take place, so there would be a proper celebration. People would many times hire royalty to announce the coming of a new prince or princess. People would of nobility would hire somebody of great stature to declare the news of the coming of the new one in the family. And who does God choose to declare that His Son, the Savior of all mankind, the one who will become the mighty ruler, who does God choose? He doesn't choose royalty. He doesn't choose even the religious elite of the day. He chooses the shepherds. The heavenly host is what it's called, this group of angels. Scholars think thousands upon thousands of angels appeared in the night sky as the angels spoke. These shepherds were terrified and they said, "Do not be afraid. We bring you good news of great joy. For today in the city of David, a Savior is born. Jesus Christ the King." And so these shepherds were called, they were chosen. The world, those around them, considered them outcast. But God chose to use them. It's often that way in scriptures. where God chooses those who would be the last legally to be chosen. If you can look back to the Old Testament, he chooses Moses in the desert. Moses has already been rejected. He's been thrown out of Egypt. And while in desert, what was he doing? Tending sheep. God appears to him in a bush and says, you are going to be my chosen vessel. You are going back to Egypt. You will be my mouthpiece. And Moses says, you got the wrong guy. I'm slow of speech. I've got some kind of speech issue. You got to choose someone else. And God says, no, it's going to be you. And it's not going to be you speaking, but me speaking through you. Later in scriptures, we see him choose a mighty warrior. Actually, he chooses a guy named Gideon. The Bible tells us he was the weakest in his tribe. But God sends an angel to approach Gideon. And the angel says, greetings, mighty warrior. And Gideon's sitting there going, I'm hiding under this tree. What are you talking about? I'm the weakest in my tribe. And the angel says, no, God has chosen you. Over and over again, God chooses to use the least likely to be chosen. And in this particular time, God shows up and he chooses the shepherds to declare the most wonderful news ever to be told. Why did the shepherds feel so distant from God? Why were they living a life kind of in fear of where they stood with God? Well, let me give you three reasons real quick. First of all, they felt unworthy. Because of their status in the community, they were already outcast. They lived out in the fields nearby. They weren't even really respected when they came into a town. You know, how many of you ever seen sheep in real life? A lot of us, we think of sheep as those fluffy white, you know, pillowy soft stuffed animals, right? But sheep are dirty, filthy creatures. And they're quite stupid, if I'm honest. If a shepherd's not there to care for the sheep, they've been known to walk right off a cliff. They don't clean themselves. A shepherd's got to do all of that. A shepherd has to be there 24/7 to care for them. That's what these guys were hired to do. And they made little pay. They were uneducated. It was kind of like the worst job to be given. And they felt unworthy because of their time having to spend with the sheep. They didn't get to, if you grew up as a Jewish boy, going to the temple every week, by the time you became a shepherd, you almost wrote the church off. The reason? They were always too dirty to go to the temple. In order to go to the temple, you had to be clean. And if anybody at the temple or on their way to the temple greeted you and shook your hand, they would become dirty, unclean. And then they wouldn't be able to go to the temple. So they felt unworthy. They felt physically dirty. And spiritually, they felt unwanted and unclean. That's how they felt. And because of this, over time, they didn't even go to the temple often because they were rejected. They were outcast. They were forbidden. The second reason is they felt inadequate. Again, they were uneducated. They were not treated equally socially. They just didn't fit in. And many times, they just felt like it'd be better just to not even show up. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a friend of mine in this little club that I'm a part of. It likes a little thing called Star Wars. I don't know if you've heard of it. But this guy came to find out that not only was I a stormtrooper a lot of times, for those of you that didn't know, it's my part-time job on the side, serving the Empire. We got to talking, and he found out I was also a pastor. And I said, hey, you should come to church. We're having Christmas Eve services. And these are the words that came out of his mouth. He said, if I ever came there, I'd probably burst into flames the moment I walked in the door. Have you ever said that? Have you ever known someone to say that? That's how we can often feel. That's how people in this world can often feel. They feel like, well, they haven't been to church enough, so they really can't start. They've done too many bad things, so they really shouldn't even go, because church is for good people after all, right? They felt inadequate. Many times we can feel inadequate, and they felt unloved. They felt unloved. If you were a shepherd, you could just assume people thought you were a thief. Actually, most shepherds, they barely got any money, so they had to find ways of sometimes lying just to make ends meet, just to eat the next meal, sometimes stealing just to get by. And so they were unloved. They were disrespected. Nobody really wanted them around. There was no father out there hoping that their daughter would one day marry a shepherd. It just didn't happen. And they felt unloved. Maybe there's been times in your life where you've felt unloved. Maybe this is a Christmas that's going to be a little bit more painful because the spouse that you were with last year decided to spend this year with somebody else. Maybe you felt unloved because you grew up in a home without a father figure or a mother that was there to love on you. And you felt unloved. Maybe you've got a friendship that ended recently. A friendship that meant a lot to you. And is not currently going the way you hoped it would. And you feel unloved. For these three reasons, these shepherds felt inadequate. They were worried about where they stood with God. They couldn't meet the requirements of the law because they couldn't go to the temple. They were too dirty. They couldn't gather with the people in the community and have relationships like normal people would. They struggled. And so they felt. They felt unworthy. They felt rejected. And they were surprised that God would come to them. "Fear not, though," they said. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy. We're going to choose you," they said. "You are God's chosen vessel. Don't worry about your past," they said. "Don't worry about what you've done or what you've not done. Today, in the city of Bethlehem, a Savior is born, and we want you to declare this truth to all." Don't focus on the law. They were here to bring good news. Now, what is good news? Good news is this. Good news is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and it says this: "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands." The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us. He has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are. So let me give you three things real quick that will help us lay down why you, like the shepherds, don't have to worry about where you stand with God. No matter what your background is, no matter what you've done with God up to this point or not, I want you to know today that God would choose you. God loves you. God sent His Son. And if you were the only person on this earth, God still would have come in the flesh if it was just to meet you. The first point is that we all have to know that we cannot earn God's acceptance by observing the law. According to the Jewish tradition, the shepherds had no hope of meeting the law. They couldn't go to the temple even to make the sacrifices and do the things that good Jewish people were supposed to do. Do you know, according to a Jewish tradition, there were 613 laws that they were supposed to follow? And the hope of a good Jewish person was, if I obey enough of these 613 laws, then hopefully I can earn my way into the family of God and one day spend forever with Him in heaven. But the Scriptures tell us in Romans 3:20, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. It wasn't just the shepherds who couldn't follow the law and obey all the commands. Not even the religious elite of the day could obey all these commands. Number two, the purpose of the law was there not to save us, but to show us our need for a Savior. Over the past 4 years, my health has been doing some weird things. I tried to get life insurance 4 years ago, and I had to go get a physical. One of those things that happens every once in a while. And they said, there's something going on with you. Your blood tests are coming back a little weird. We need to do some tests. And they ended up finding that my thyroid wasn't acting right. So they did an ultrasound and they found these little nodules growing, and they kept growing, and they kept like poking me, and I don't know the technical term, but a biopsy, right? Is that what you call it? And they kept saying, well, it's not bad, but we're going to keep watching. Well, in August, they called me right after we got back from a mission trip to Nicaragua, and they said, this time it's not looking so good. We need you to come in. So they did another test, and they found cancer in my thyroid. By September 22nd, I was having surgery, and they took it out. And the good news is, they said, we got it all. We checked your lymph nodes, no spreading, clean margins, everything looks good, no further treatment needed, but now here, take these pills every day the rest of your life. A month later, I'm going in for an annoying pain in the back of my leg, and they say, let's do an x-ray to see what's going on, something might be going on with your nerve, and they do this x-ray, and the x-ray leads me to have to do an MRI because an x-ray doesn't show enough. And in the MRI, they find 4 tumors in my back. And they're not cancerous. So that's good. But they said we need to keep an eye on these. One of these is really big. So I went through these tests. I had a biopsy. I had a ultrasound. I had a bone scan. All these different tests, which costs a lot of money, by the way. I don't know if your insurance is good or not, but ours isn't that great, so we have some pretty high co-payments. All these tests that show amazing things, and yet I still have to get treatment. Because you know what? An MRI or a bone scan or an x-ray, they don't cure anything. They're great at telling you what's wrong, but they are powerless to fix anything. That's what the law is in the scriptures. The law of God is there to show us that we have a cancer inside of us called sin. But it's completely powerless to save us. Not one of us can meet the 613 laws. Not one of us can even obey what we've simplified it down to 10 commandments. Actually, it's simplified even further by Jesus when he said, the greatest law is to love God, and the second greatest is to love your neighbor. How many of you ever struggle with one of those two? Laws can never save us. They simply show us where we fall short, that we all are in desperate need of a Savior. So the third point today is that righteousness with God comes only by faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. No one can never be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are, Romans 3:20, continuing on. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without knowing the requirements of the law. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. So on that evening when the shepherds were chosen, the least likely to be chosen, they got the good news that it wasn't about their status in that culture. It wasn't about whether they could measure up to the laws required by the Jewish traditions. It was simply for them to know that Jesus loves you. He's coming tonight. We want you to tell the rest of the world, and we want you to be ready. The Savior is coming. And tonight, that good news is for you and I today. To know that no matter what your past has been, no matter how inadequate, unworthy, or unloved you've ever felt, God demonstrated His own love for you. And while we were sinners, He gave up His life and the life of His Son to take our sins upon Himself. When He died on the cross for us, He took our sins upon Himself, and He gave us the greatest gift in return. The gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of a new life for any who would receive it. And tonight that gift is offered to you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that our life is not based on what we can do or not do. God, our salvation and our forgiveness that comes from you is based on what you have already done for us. God, I pray if there's somebody in this room tonight who has never opened up their heart to receive you as their Savior, to receive your forgiveness, no matter what they've done, let them know that today they can be made new in you, and that your Holy Spirit will come in and begin to change their life, begin to transform them into the people that you've called them to be, that we can be made new today. God, as our band leads us in a time of celebration and remembrance of what you've done for us, let us remember that the greatest gift given is when you lowered yourself. You humbled yourself to become a servant to us. You took our sins upon yourself when you died on the cross in our place. And now you live to give us forgiveness and give us a new life so that we can live in you. Help us to receive that gift this Christmas. Help us to receive it and to open it and to live our life through it and because of it. Come and reveal yourself to us tonight. If you've never received this gift, if you've never called out to God and said, Jesus, be my Savior, come into my life, do it now, do it tonight. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. If you would say, Pastor John, tonight I want to receive that gift. I want Jesus in my heart tonight. Then call out to Him with me right now. In your heart, in your mind, just pray to Him. Just say, Dear God, come into my life. Make me new. Forgive me of my sins and now help me to follow you. In your name I pray. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit comes and seals the decisions that are being made tonight. Let us remember that we can only have this because of what you've done for us. It's not about how good we are. It's not about us obeying laws. It's not even about how many times we go to church. It's simply about us knowing that you love us, that you died for us, that you forgive us, and we accept it. We put our belief in you, and we now want to follow you. So God, as we think upon this, as we think about you dying in our place on the cross, let us remember you as we take a piece of bread, a symbol of the body that you had, that you allowed to be broken for us. As we take a piece of this bread, as we dip it in the cup of juice, a symbol of the blood that you shed for us. Your scriptures say that blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And if we receive your body and your blood, we do so remembering that you did it for us so that we can now live for you. So God, move among us as we remember what you did for us in our place. And let us leave this place ready to live for you.